Welcome to the Virtual Campfire. My name is Sydney Williams, author and founder of Hiking My Feelings, and I'm so glad that you're here. The Virtual Campfire started as a replacement for what we were missing on the trail during the pandemic in 2020. We wanted to be sharing stories and listening to music and having conversations about hard topics at the end of a long day, shared in some of the most beautiful places in the world. In the absence of that, the Virtual Campfire was born, and 50-something episodes later, we're still here. And this season, we're doing things a little bit differently. Over the course of the next few episodes, we're going to be sharing stories from people who have been through our 12-week online program called Blaze Your Own Trail to Self-Love. Now, if you've been watching the Virtual Campfire or listening to the podcast from the beginning, you'll know that this program was launched after our initial 20 episodes of the Virtual Campfire. This program took everything that we had planned to do on the road in 2020 on my book tour through the US and Canada, workshops, retreats, overnights, group hikes, all of those things, and put them into a 12-week program that was available online so we could stay connected during the pandemic. Now we are getting ready to start our fourth class of this program on August 21st, and we couldn't think of a better way to get people hyped up about it, bring awareness to what we're doing, and share the stories of how this program has impacted real human lives than to bring on some of the people that have been through the program themselves. So I hope you have a nice, comfortable seat. I hope you have a beverage of choice, maybe a cozy blanket, maybe a journal. You never know what you're going to hear that you might want to jot down. So have a seat, sit back, relax. Unless you're driving, then keep doing what you're doing. But we hope you enjoy the Virtual Campfire. Thank you so much for being here. I'm hiking my feelings, working with all the natural beauty. We are the makers of vibes in our community, working to set myself free. Hi, everybody. Well, this is dumb. All right. I am excited. I have Miss Mary Ramanofsky here. And Mary is one of the, there's a really short list of people that have been through every Hiking My Feelings experience and event and program and all the things. And Mary is on that list. And today we're going to be talking about her journey, what brought her into the Hiking My Feelings community, how sobriety has become part of her life, how the inner wilderness and the outer wilderness are mixing and mingling everywhere we go, and probably a whole bunch of other cool stuff. So hi, Mary.
Hi, Sydney. Thank you for having me.
Good. Yay. So for people that don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where you're from? And we'll go from there.
Okay. So I'm Mary, and I'm currently in San Diego. I've been here for, probably coming up on 20 years soon. Originally from the Chicago area, but my husband and I have been in San Diego since 2005. And we have three kids, ages 10, 10, and 11. And so that's me and where I'm from. What else did you ask? Is that good? Oh, I can't hear you.
Helps if I unmute myself. Holler. Okay. Hey, at least I didn't talk over you because I was muted. Winning. Cool. Yeah, no, that's perfect. So one of the things that I love most about Mary is the fact that she's from Chicago and that we can have some Chicago and San Diego comparisons when it comes to food and culture and appreciating the weather in San Diego more than we appreciate the weather in the Midwest. Like I said, Mary, you have been here for like almost the entire journey of Hiking My Feelings. We met in the early stages of 2020. So tell me a little bit about your life and what, like the things that you've experienced over the years and what eventually led you to Hiking My Feelings.
So I'm one of six kids. So I grew up in a large Irish Catholic Chicago family. I was actually born in California though, Northern California. Then pretty quickly, my parents moved us back to Chicago. And then my grade school years, I lived in San Juan Capistrano, so Southern California. and then back to Chicago starting in middle school. But I always felt very connected to California. Like I knew that I would end up back here eventually. So after college, I went to school to be a teacher, but I never ended up teaching, at least not yet. I haven't made it into the classroom. But yesterday I received my official employee ID for the San Diego Unified School District as a substitute teacher. So I will soon make my way into the classroom. But I got a little sidetracked into the business world and was working in a variety of different businesses, mostly small businesses that were related in some way to patient and consumer health education and technology. So I worked my ass off for many years. I'm kind of an all or nothing person. So it was always very important to me to do well at work. I didn't really know how to put the brakes on. I was in client services. So I put a lot of energy into pleasing my clients and my co-workers and the company I worked for, and just gave that my all for a long time. And then when I became a mom, that changed a little bit. And I had my son first in 2010, Leo. And very quickly after I had him, I became pregnant with twins. So in the span of 14 months, we went from no kids to 3 kids, which is a lot, especially when you throw in twins. And I was trying to still give over 100% at work and to my career, and then also give over 100% to keeping these babies alive and my marriage alive and all of that. And as each year went by, that got harder and harder. And, you know, other family illnesses and just other life stressors that were kind of thrown at me. And I just really struggled to do it all and to prove to myself that I could do it all. So, I slowly started this journey to kind of, settle down a little bit and stop trying to do it all, which was really, 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 really hard. And so the first step I took was with work. I started to, I ended up working kind of part-time, less than over full-time. So we'll just say a little more than part-time. I started working, but I was still not managing stress well, still very overwhelmed, not feeling connected to myself, my body, my health, my friends, my husband, like everything. And so eventually I decided to just take a break from work completely in 2019. And it was just going to be for a few months. I just needed to reset, figure out what my next path was going to be professionally. But really it was not the job. It wasn't my career. It was just deep down inside a lot of, just many, many years of feelings that had not been, I just wasn't dealing with. And, then I had lots of also like physical health issues that were, kind of a mystery to me and my doctors, and, just other than physical pain and just dealing with a lot of stuff. So I was enjoying not working. However, like things weren't really changing. I was still feeling really shitty emotionally and physically. And so I decided in early 2020, I was like, you know what? I am going to stop drinking for 3 months. And, you know, I had done sober months here and there, you know, sober October, whatever, like doing a whole 30 or something like that, where I would just prove to myself that I can go 30 days without drinking. See, I don't have a problem. I cannot drink for 30 days and I'm fine. Then I go right back to it. And I won't go into too much detail about my relationship with alcohol and marijuana, but I knew I needed a longer break than 30 days. So I told myself that, and one of the stories that I would often tell myself is that I have no discipline and like willpower. Like I just told myself I didn't have willpower. So this is a way I was like, I'm going to prove that I can do something for 90 days. And I planned it ahead of time. And it was going to be March 8th, 2020 was going to be my day one. Cause it was the morning after a mom's night out pub crawl. Cause I couldn't miss that. Right. And, so March 8th, 2020, my first day without alcohol or weed or caffeine, I let go of that too at the same time.
You weren't kidding when you say you're all or nothing. You're like all the things that I really, really like, let's cut them all off right at once.
Yeah. And end of 90 days was going to be the last day of the school year for my kids. It was going to be first day of summer. It was going to be like time to party again. Right. So that morning I got on a plane to go up to Northern California because my mom was in the hospital again. She had been battling metastatic breast cancer for a few years. It was a really long and painful journey. And she'd had several hospitalizations and I was kind of used to this, like, okay, I'm going to go up and help out, see her, be with her. So I got on a plane that morning and flew up there. And 2 days later, she passed away. So, you know, as much as we were prepared for this disease to eventually take her, you know, nothing can really prepare you for that moment. And at the same time, what was happening was COVID. This was the week where everything started shutting down. Everything was rapidly progressing. We were literally the last family in the ICU at Stanford for I don't know how many more months after that. It was just, I don't really have the words to describe that week, but I share it because that week was just very life-changing in so many ways for everyone in this world, I imagine. But, and for me particularly, there was COVID and then also my mom dying and then this first day of this journey of not drinking or being sober. And so I came home after that week, after, you know, dealing with my mom dying and processing that and then being with my family, I came home to be with my husband and the kids. And I crashed. I was in bed for, you know, in physical pain, emotional pain for a good few weeks. And I had been following this bookstore. I was so in love with this woman in San Diego and her independent bookstore. I just like, she was like living my dream to open a little small bookstore, right? Marianne. And she had a few weeks earlier posted this poster about this author and book signing and author talk that she was going to have. And it was called Hiking My Feelings. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. That sounds really interesting. Like, I don't hike. I wish I hiked, but I don't. I could pretend I do, but I don't. But like hiking my feelings. That's really calling to me. So I did make it to the talk. Did you even have that talk? Okay.
Yeah. That talk was the first talk. It was the last thing we did in San Diego before we embarked on what was supposed to be a book tour through the US and Canada. So it was like our send off from San Diego. But the first bookstore, well, I spoke at Diesel and Del Mar in January, but that was the first stop of like the book tour.
Okay. And it was like in February or maybe even like early March. Like
it was early. It was literally the Friday before everything started shutting down.
Okay. So it was just a few days earlier than,
yeah.
And I couldn't make it there. I think we had baseball. Probably. I'm sure we had baseball. So I kept thinking about it and Marianne had sent messages or posted something saying she was going to start doing book deliveries to people's homes so that people could still buy books and read while we were all quarantining, trying to figure out like what the hell's going on with our lives. So I sent her a message and I was like, I need Hiking My Feelings. I ordered Hiking My Feelings, Untamed and Educated, I think were the books that I got. And so she dropped them off and I started reading this book and I hadn't read a book in years. I hadn't done a lot of things in years. And I could not put down Hiking My Feelings. There were so many things in your story that I could relate to. And I think the biggest thing that was really grabbing me was your work experience and your experience working for a friend in the small business, getting out of it. Like, oh my gosh, it was like reading my story. And I just felt this like huge sense of relief that like, I guess just validation for my experience and my feelings. And oh my gosh, there's somebody out there that would understand me if I were to talk to her about this. And so before I even finished the book, I got on your website to like, cause I wanted to know everything about you and find out, okay, how do I get more of this? And I saw two things. I saw Read and Reflect, where you were going to be doing like a weekly Zoom call where you would read a chapter and then there would be some questions that the group would reflect on that would relate to the lessons in that chapter. And so I signed up for that right away. And then there was information about this retreat on Catalina Island and it was being rescheduled for September because of COVID. So I just, without even thinking, I just signed up. I registered. I was like, I have to do this. I'm called to this organization, to this woman. Like, I have to do it. And like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be on a Zoom call with the author. Like, that's just so cool and intimidating. And like, oh my gosh, like she's a real person. So as I was going through the registration process for the Catalina retreat, one of the questions was, what is your experience with yoga? How much yoga experience do you have? And I had none. I mean, I had maybe taken one or two classes in my life. I had zero experience, but it was one of those things that I always said I wanted to do, but I was never doing. And I was like, okay, this is my chance. I have, I don't know, 4 months or however many months it was going to be until the retreat to start learning yoga so that when I show up, I'm not going to feel like a loser who doesn't know what she's doing. And I'm going to actually know what I'm doing because it's important to me that like I show up, you know, at least pretending like I know what I'm doing. And so the very next day I texted my neighbor and who's a yoga teacher. And I was like, I'm ready. Like, how do I start doing yoga? And her studio was doing yoga online. So I started doing yoga every day, some days, sometimes twice a day, starting in like early April of 2020 in preparation for this retreat. And then I signed on to my first Read and Reflect. And there you were in real life, kind of in the van at the ranch. And there were other women there and you were reading your story. I was sobbing. I didn't know why I was crying. I didn't know. I had no words at that point for anything that I was experiencing. And I don't really remember that first call, what I said, but I'm pretty sure I did mention in that conversation or in that Zoom that I was not drinking. And at the time it wasn't yet, I wasn't calling it sober. Or, you know, I had no intentions at the time to live a sober life. I was just going to kind of cleanse for 90 days. So anyways, that was a really, really, really long story about how I came to hiking my feelings. And there's a whole bunch more after that, but I should probably stop.
No, I love it. I think that's great. And I love hearing how people find us. Cause like, I don't know these things and people tell us. And I remember seeing, I just remember feeling so like excited, but also like, oh shit. When you signed up after we had postponed it. Cause like I don't know if you were on the Zoom where like, I don't think you were, maybe you were, but like I had started a Zoom when we decided that we had to postpone it and I was just crying and I was like, guys, I'm so sorry. We have to postpone the retreat. And I think it was Amanda Dulong. And she was like, hey, you didn't bring the virus over here. Like, this ain't your fault. Like, I appreciate that you're so like connected to this event and that you really want to facilitate it. Like that is very clear. And also like, it ain't your fault, girl. And I was like, okay, like, we'll be fine. But I just remember thinking, like, in that moment, I was like, if any of these people ask for a refund, like, we were in such dire straits financially, because like the book tour had just started and then ended. But like that first weekend of the book tour, I was like, we made like $300. And I was like, if I can make $300 a weekend, like, we could, we're going to start making money doing this. Like, this is incredible. Like, we can do stuff, because our financial situation was, all the dollars we had in the bank were retreat registrations. Like, we did not have any money ourselves. And if people needed a refund, we would be tits up. And so to have somebody register after I said it was postponed, and not knowing what the heck this pandemic would be, I was like, oh dear God, this feels like a lot of pressure, but also thank you. But also what? Like, it was just so wild. And I remember, like, I just read and reflect feels like, it feels like the good old days, right? Like, it was so, like, it was before everything got super serious. Like, it started before the pandemic and then, like, continued through it. And like, I didn't plan it that way. And certainly I couldn't have forecasted the pandemic, but like, what a blessing to have like a space where we could meet every week in the middle of all these shitty things. Like, your mom died. You're on this like cleanse, which eventually turns into sobriety. You're like, all the things. And like, thank God we all had space. Like, that was one of the things that I just came to really love about that group, and how like almost everybody from Read and Reflect ended up signing up for Blaze Your Own Trail. So wild.
And I, like, remember, I just remember, like, that was the first time where I felt like, okay, this is my chance to just be me. No one here knows me. No one here has any expectations of me. I have nothing to prove to anyone except just kind of figuring out how to be comfortable just being me, like saying what I want to say, talking about how I feel. And it was just really exciting. It was scary. Like, I was scared to even turn on my camera the first day. I think you even like made me turn it on. And it just, it was such a special moment for me. And it was really the starting point to so much more. And I needed it. It was what I needed at that time. I needed to hear other people's stories. Even though I had already finished the book on my own, it was my first book club. I had never done a book club. And it really, it just made the book, it helped the book be more than just the book. It was really a guide for my journey, and like I said, just a starting point to so much more. And you didn't even know what more was to come after that.
Yeah, nope.
Like, and then that turned into, and I even remember where I was at the time when you announced, okay, I have something exciting. This is what's coming next. I was in the parking lot at Liberty Station. I had just gone to donate blood. And you announced the Blaze Your Own Trail was going to be coming soon, and this is what it's going to be like. And I think I like registered, like we hung up, and I like, you're like,
you did. Yeah. I think you were like, I think you were the first person to sign up. Like, I actually kind of want to go back to my records just to verify that fact, because I feel like that's very true. And I, well, and one of the things that you mentioned was like, you were looking, or that Marianne had posted this thing, and that's how you like came into the awareness of Hiking My Feelings. Like, I love her. I desperately miss Run for Cover. What a beautiful, did you ever get a chance to actually go to the bookstore?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful place. And the thing that strikes me about how you came into it. So like, I was talking to Michelle Farias, who's going to be on later in the season. And she said that like she had gone through what she went through, and then she just went to Amazon and was like, I'm looking for a book about sexual assault and I like hiking, and like that's how it came up, or something just so random like that. And I was like, thank God, Bezos and your algorithm, like if there's one good thing you delivered.
Fine,
me,
I'll give you that one.
Yeah. But the fact that like you didn't identify as a hiker, but it struck something within you, like, let's talk about like the physical progression of hiking and then how that kind of matched up with your 90 days turning into now what, like it's over 2 years now that you've been sober. Yeah. So like, let's talk about that emotional, mental, physical progression, starting to hike and all that.
So I first started walking, like literally once I had had enough of laying in bed for probably a few weeks, I knew I just needed to, I needed fresh air and I needed to start moving my body. I was scared to move my body. I was in pain. I had this like hip pain I had been dealing with for a long time and I just hadn't exercised in years. So I started just walking around the block, which was like, I had all these stories I told myself, like, oh, I don't want to walk around the block. What if my neighbors see me? What if they, what are they going to think? Like, oh, she can't run. She can only walk. And I just saw her leave. She's back 10 minutes. And what kind of, you know, like no one is paying attention to me walking around the neighborhood. Okay.
Can we pause for a second? This sounds remarkably similar to my story of like why I didn't ever wear bathing suits in public, where I was like, I am just convinced to the core, hashtag Stacy Jordan Shelton, like the lies that we tell ourselves that we internalize as like the deepest truths. Like I was convinced that if I had the audacity to go out in public in a swimsuit, that people would drop dead. And you're here like, I am pretty sure my neighbors are going to be timing my walks and they're going to like keep track of what's going on with my body. Yes. Oh, clearly she must be on a weight loss journey. Is it working? Yes. Like, why do we do this to ourselves?
I don't know. And it's like, I've come a long way. I still have a way to go, but I'm so much I'm not like that anymore. So I started walking and listening to podcasts, but with, and I knew because I had signed up for this retreat. It's one thing I've learned about myself. I've done all this like personal discovery work, you know, these last 2 years and read a million books and there's the, now I can't remember what it's called. It's like a personality trait. There's the obliger, the rebel.
The Enneagram test?
Not the Enneagram. It's called, I'll have to look it up. But yeah. I'm an obliger, I think is what it's called. Okay. There's four different kinds. Like it's basically your, how you hold yourself accountable. Like, do you rely on personal accountability or internal accountability or external accountability? For me, it's external. In order for me to get anything done, I need external accountability. So by signing up for Catalina, which was going to be in September of that year, I knew that I had to get in some kind of shape so that I could hike across this crazy island that you described in your book without dying. And so that was kind of my long-term goal, but like, I had no idea how I was going to get there, especially if I can't even walk around the block. So part of Blaze Your Own Trail, there were the trail thoughts. Like we had our homework for hiking and the reflection to do on our hike. And, I was really scared to, like, I wouldn't consider my walks around the neighborhood a hike. Like they were just walking, even though now I do consider them. Like if I can't go out to a mountain somewhere and hike, I just walk around my neighborhood and it's just as grand. So one of my goals in that program was to go on a hike alone. Another thing that I did was I found a partner to hike with. So my best friend, Jen, we connected over this and we decided we were going to do the five peaks in Mission Trails. So there are five different hikes in this big regional park in San Diego. So we kind of had a little bit of a program that we could follow or some goals to accomplish. But what I really needed to do was hike by myself. And I will never forget this. It was part of my homework for Blaze Your Own Trail was to go on a solo hike. I was scared to death. We had Melissa Urban on the
The virtual campfire.
Virtual campfire. Yeah. I even like asked her about it, and because I was just so scared to hike alone. So for my first solo hike, what I did, I went to the park down the street from my house. It's like 2 blocks away in this little, you know, suburban San Diego neighborhood where there's a playground and some grassy area. And then like along the outer edges, there's this little path amongst the trees. And I was so scared to hike that path by myself. Like, I don't know what I thought was going to happen to me. Like coyotes were going to eat me. I have no idea. I got hiking boots. My sister gave me hiking boots for a gift. And I geared up for this for like a good week. I was like, okay, this is going to be the day I'm going to do it. And I even brought hiking poles. And I did it. And it was no big deal. I mean, it was at the time, it was a very big deal, but looking back, it was not a big deal at all. But I was like, oh my gosh, I did it. I just went on my first solo hike. And then from there I could just build on it. And now I'm hiking, you know, at least I try to hike twice a week. Once a week I go with a group of women, which I can talk about that later. It's so amazing. But then I do it once by myself, because I think another reason I was scared, I know another reason I was scared to hike by myself was because I knew that shit would start to happen. My brain would wake up and I would start working through some stuff. And that was, I was really, really scared to do that.
With good reason. You just had a lot happen.
Yes, a lot.
Like a lot.
And I had many, many years of stuff to process that I had been shoving down with alcohol, weed, food, work, whatever, non-exercise, but a bunch of other stuff. So far, exercise has not been an addiction for me. Although I did have some intense yoga stretches, but so that's what I came to realize was my real fear was that when I started hiking alone, I was gonna have to start thinking through some stuff. And now I can't wait. Like when I know that I've got shit to think through, I'm like, get me on a hike. Like, and I don't even stress about where I have my same place that I go in Mission Trails, because I don't even need to think about the hike itself. I can just do it. I can knock out the hike. I'm physically exerting myself. It just feels really good. I'm working my body, and I wish I could capture my thoughts on those. I know I have the trail journal, but I still struggle with writing out my thoughts, but I just have these intense, that's a good word. Like not crystallization, but like just clarity, I guess, when I'm hiking, that I have not been able to find another way to get that.
Well, and I think you touched on something that we don't really bring a lot of attention to. And this is something that I even only recently came to understand about my journey on Catalina was, and I've said this before, and I could go on about like some of the discoveries I've made in my downtime here in Maine is that I have had language for things for a really long time. And as soon as I find language, I'm like, oh, cool. I'm good. Like I have the language. You know, I can talk about it. I sound smart. I know exactly how I'm feeling. I got words. What I've realized is like, I have said a lot of things over the last however many years. And then like, I'll say it in a new way or somebody will ask me a question and, or more likely in therapy. And then like my whole body is just like registers understanding. And so what the long story that I'm getting to here, going around the block to get next door. I recently like had the full body understanding of like, what is possible when you know that you've done it before and you can do it again. Like this was actually in relation to writing up the itinerary for our Big Sur retreat was we're doing the same hike both days, but the first day we're only doing like half of it. And then we'll go down and we'll do some other stuff. And then the second day we're going all the way up and then all the way down. So like what's possible when you already know that you can do this and what you're saying about that peak. And if I'm not mistaken, it's Kwaipei, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So Kwaipei Peak in Mission Trails, it's hard and it's steep and it's short. So like you can do it, you know, you can do it, you know, time-wise, there's really not an excuse. Like you can make time for Kwaipei, but like, that's one of the things that I I actually learned just in like witnessing you going with this group. And I think we should talk about this group, is because you can just like, you already know the trail. You already know that you're capable of doing it. And so that just becomes like a space where you can exist with yourself, with your thoughts. And in some cases with these other women that you hike with, I just love that so much, that, that reflection of, I was to go from, I don't hike, but I want to now I have a place where I can go and I know this is where I can go to process. And now I look forward to, and I anticipate, and to the point where like, I get fussy if I don't get to go.
Yes.
Like that journey in a 2-year period, mm-hmm, is awesome. Like that is so, so cool.
And the first time I hiked it was with Jen. I think it was the first peak that we chose on the 5-peak challenge, because it was the shortest. So we were like, oh, let's start with the easiest one.
That shit ain't easy.
I was like,
I've barfed on that trail.
Yes. And now I just fly right up. And it's, which is another thing I love about it, because even if I've had a busy few weeks and I haven't been able to hike, or I've been sick or depressed or whatever, I can still knock it out pretty easily physically. And so it's just a nice pat on the back. Like, I'm still okay. Like, I didn't slide all the way back to where I was 2 years ago, because 2 years ago I barely made it and I was embarrassed. I was hyperventilating. I was comparing myself to every single person that went up and down that trail. I don't do that anymore. There's so many things I love about it.
It's great. Well, and it's kind of like our hike at the ranch. Like, we go out to the rocks and or out to like Eagle Peak or Three Sisters, but that's one of those hikes for me. Like, and that's something that I knew that I appreciated when we were there, because I literally roll out of the van, we go walk to the rocks, Barry and I we walk and talk, we brainstorm, or we don't, but like, I've missed that so much here, having my trail. Like, I share it with everybody else. It's not literally mine, but like, that is my place where I know I can just like, no matter what's going through my head, if I want to process, I can. If I don't have to, I still discover new things every time. And I really love that ability to, like you said, like you can go for weeks and come back and realize that you haven't slid all the way back. And it's like, that trail is like, it's there for you. And it's welcoming you. And it's like, Mary, nice to see ya.
And I love, it's been really magical to witness the changes that nature goes through over time. So now I've been through almost 2 years of seasons. And like, it was just so green the other day when I went. I think I went on Saturday. It was so green. Like, I don't remember it being so green. And I still take pictures almost every time. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, look at that spider web. They're the coolest spider webs on that trail. I'm sure they're everywhere, but I just notice those because that's what I'm doing so often. Just the sounds of the birds and there's little wildflowers right now and smells. And it's just like, oh, I love it. I love it so much.
So how did you connect with this group? And tell me about this group, because I love this story. I love this story. I'm going to like preface it. I want to hype people up. I feel like I'm on a talk show and I'm hyping up your movie clip. Like,
okay.
So in this story, Mary's going to tell us about how she found this group and how these women are like her unexpected hiking partners. Like, she never would have thought that this is who she'd end up with, and how much she's learned from these women. Ready, go.
Okay, go. So I've mastered this solo hiking. Well, not master, but I'm very comfortable. I have this nice routine where I'm hiking on my own. What I hadn't found yet, though, was other people to hike with, because there are benefits there too. I have a very small, tight, like I'm very connected socially. I know a lot of people in our community through school and sports and stuff like that, but terms of like intimate friendships, I keep a very small, tight circle. And so part of this journey has been trying to make new friends, especially doing that sober and in a pandemic is like really, really hard. And then I'm like, do I really want new friends? But like, yes, I need other people in my life. Like, we cannot do this life thing alone. We just can't. So back in, we'll go back to March 2020 when all these amazing things happened during this horrible time in our lives. A woman named Julie Potiker, she's an author and a meditation teacher here in San Diego. I discovered her through a community newspaper years ago. I signed up for her newsletter. So I was getting her newsletter and she sent out a note saying she teaches this weekly meditation class at a local synagogue. And because of the pandemic, they were moving it online and they were opening up to anyone. So you did not have to be a member of this Jewish community. Just all are welcome to this weekly meditation. And meditation was another thing like yoga that like, I felt like it was something I should be doing. Everyone tell, oh, you should do yoga. You should meditate. You know, you can't handle your stress. You know, you need to be doing all these things. And I just resisted. I was like, how am I going to do that? No way. Anyway, so I signed up for this class and it was just like read and reflect. It became this collection of, we call them like the Hollywood squares, you know, on Zoom, everyone's faces, these incredible, amazing, mostly women, mostly older, 50, 60, 70, 80 year old women. They're all, many of them are all part of this Jewish community. I was kind of like this outsider, random lady, like, where did she come from? So we would meet at the time, I think it was twice a week. We would get on Zoom and Julie would lead us through a meditation. And then we would have a reflection afterwards where people would share their experience. It became a really close group, especially once, things really got intense with the political, racial situations, everything that was happening in our country that summer of 2020 and continues to happen. But, you know, this was all escalating and we were just a really incredible source of support for each other. And I was, again, like, this is a great opportunity for me to just be me. No one here knows me. They don't have any expectations. I'm just going to practice being my true authentic self. And so I started being open about my sobriety in this group. And because at that time I was like, decided I was going to keep going. I didn't have an end, or I didn't say forever. I never committed to forever, but I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. It feels really good. So on one of the calls, I was late to the call because I was hiking, doing my regular hike by myself. And this was like in the fall of 2020 by this point. And so I logged onto the meditation from the trail. And afterwards, one of the women messaged me and she said, hey, I noticed you were like hiking or something. Do you hike? And I was like, I do hike. You know, I was like, yes, I'm a hiker. And so she said, well, I've been hiking to Cowles Mountain. We do this back route up to Cowles Mountain. She said, we hike every week. We've been doing it for like 12 years. And would you like to join us? And she called me first and kind of like vetted me out, you know, just to be like, you know, are you gonna, do we want you? It's a very tight group that had been doing this for so long. And so I was so nervous. I was like, oh my gosh, this is maybe even scarier than like hiking alone for the first time. It's like going on this hike with these women who I don't know. And they're in their 70s. I'm in my early 40s. And I went and I have not stopped going. It's been at least a year and a half now. There are a few weeks, you know, I have to miss every once in a while for whatever reason. And, you know, like today I missed and I'm just devastated, but it's this core group of women. It's three or four of us that are there almost every week. And they still kick my ass and beat me to the top of the mountain every time. And I love them for it. I am so motivated to be doing that when I am in my 70s hiking. Just, I mean, they just like, they're up at the top. No big deal. And I'm like, I'm coming. And it's been such a gift to have these older women in my life to listen to me, to share their life experiences. You know, my mom is gone, so I don't have a mom anymore. And I wasn't even, I mean, I was close with my mom, but I share things and talk with these women like I didn't even talk with my own mom. And I just feel so safe and loved and welcomed. And it's just like, as soon as we hit the trail, we're just like, and someone, you know, it always, there's this real natural flow to kind of whose week it is, like who just has to get some shit out, you know? And it's just, it's amazing. Like I get up at 5 o'clock on these mornings. I get everyone's breakfast taken care of. I pack all the lunches. I take care of myself. And if you'd told me 2 years ago that I would be doing this, I would be like, there is no way. Like, I'm not going to get up that early. I'm going to be hungover, or I'm going to be stressed out, or I can't ask David to take the kids to school, but I do. Oh, did I freeze?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, you're back.
Second.
Here okay. She is.
So, oh, I'm freezing.
Your audio is still.
For you, hey. Or is that just for me?
You're freezing for me, but your audio is still good.
Okay. So that's my story about the ladies.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it so much. I don't know. Hang on. Let's see. Let's see. Well, it's still working.
Like my internet looks fine.
Yeah. My internet looks fine.
Should I stop the video for a second?
Yeah. Maybe do that.
That didn't help.
Uh-oh. Is this your wet computer?
Forgot about that. I spilled a whole bottle of water on my computer just as we were about to start. Shoot. What do I do?
Do you want to join from your phone? All right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
We're back.
She's back. All right. So I love the story about your ladies.
Yes.
And I think it's really neat to have one, just like people that you can hike with, obviously. Like I love hiking with you. I love hiking with anybody that we get to hike through or hike with through our programs, and then just like friends and stuff. But I think it's really neat to have a group of people, like something that you've mentioned a handful of times is that I hear consistently from you when joining new communities is an opportunity to be yourself and not wear the masks or meet the expectations of the people that you've either grown up with or family members or old friends. Like you have had at least two really, well, three with the meditation community, four with your sobriety community. Like you've really leaned into creating space for yourself to discover yourself. Like your self-discovery journey is an all-in full-time kind of thing. And I wish more people had the opportunity to do that, but even people that have the opportunity to do that don't. So like reflecting that back to you, like your all or nothingness is really paying off. Like you found, I feel like your all or nothingness. And you mentioned earlier that you were in client services. Like when I got diagnosed with diabetes, I took all the stuff that I used to funnel into making my clients happy into making my doctor happy, which in turn made me happier and healthier. But it was never about me first. It was very much like, I want gold stars for my doctor. And for you to be able to recognize within yourself, like that one, you're desiring more community and connection. And two, that by doing so, you're able to fully kind of leap without a net, because like, you don't know who this new version of Mary is going to end up being. Like you were kind of in this like transitional state where you're like, okay, here's Mary pre-sobriety, pre-mom dying, pre all these other things. And now here's a vision. And I love the fact that like the part about external validation, like that's really been like sticking with me. And like, where do we get our validation, but external accountability. That is, I've never identified that about myself, but when I have that, I'm really good. And I have to find ways to create that for myself. So I love that your journey into this started with like this visualization of, I signed up for a retreat. I don't hike. I don't do yoga, but I should probably do both. And I just love how that's evolved into this new wonderful, like, feels like fully expressed, merry life that you're living.
It is. It's most days it is.
And that's the thing too. That's not going to be every day. I know this.
Yeah. And what I'm learning is there are two, I'm excited to start another professional exploration, I'll call it, as a substitute teacher, because, and I don't know how much I'll do this. It's going to be very part-time for now. I can do it at my kids' school and still be able to drive them, pick them up, and not be too much of a, not have to figure out childcare and all that kind of stuff. But, I'm really excited to take all of these lessons and this new comfort that I have with myself to in a professional setting, because that's just a big one for me. And it's going to take a lot of practice. I expect a lot of bumps along the way, but I've put so much pressure on myself professionally that I just want to do it all differently now. And it's not going to be my main priority. And I say that with recognizing the privileges that I do have that allow me to only work part-time right now. And I have a lot of appreciation and gratitude for those privileges. I'm looking forward to those new challenges. I also still struggle with larger groups. Like, the retreats have been really hard for me, and also incredibly powerful and amazing, and just these experiences that I probably would have not done even in the first place before I started this journey with you. But I find, like, I sign up for the retreat. I'm so excited. This is gonna be awesome. I got this. I can hike. No big deal. Like Catalina, the Catalina retreat ended up getting postponed again till the following March. And the weekend that we were supposed to do it in September, I ended up going to Catalina with my sister and hiking 3/5 of the trail, which was, we'll save that for another podcast. It's amazing and so effing hard.
Well, I was actually going to bring that up. And if you want to talk a little bit about the hike you did with your sister, let's talk about it. Cause one of the moments, like, there's been a lot of moments where I'm like, I fucking love Mary. And like, all the times that you ever show up on any of the Zooms, I'm like, Mary is here and you are sunshine. You are solar powered. Like, you've got your little sunshine on your little Zoom thing. And like, your personality is sunshine. And even when you're not, because like, we can't be sunshiny all the time. Even when you're not, like, your presence is still so uplifting and strong. And the way you show up for people is like, and frankly, for me, selfishly, I love it and adore it. There's two distinct hiking moments that I've had with you where I've just been like, this chick, like, there's a lot of people, myself included. There was a long time where I was talking the talk, but I wasn't walking the walk. And there are a lot of people that still to this day, like, that, and no shame to anybody. Like, we all get the language and then we think we're good, but we have to actually like walk the walk too. And so the two instances that I'm thinking about is the hike that we did to the summit of El Cajon on your soberversary. Like, one, that I got to share that moment with you was just like above and beyond. Two, that your soberversary is International Women's Day just blows my mind every year.
Oh yeah, and I always forget that.
Yeah. Cool. And I was just like, this is so cool, because like, for me to do that felt like just so validating that what we're doing and what I experienced, because like, I know that I'm not the first person to find healing in nature, But for a long time, until we had the programs and we had people coming through the programs, and I'm witnessing people having the similar experiences to what I had. And maybe it's not on Catalina, maybe it's not even hiking, but people are finding that when they disconnect from the distractions of this world that we live in, this hyper-connected instant gratification life we're living, and have an opportunity to reconnect with themselves, like deep transformational healing is possible. So to be able to share that moment with you, life-changing. But I remember I was coming up, and actually Barry got some of it on camera. I think you were either doing like a selfie on Catalina towards the top, or you were like recording something, and Barry comes up behind you and he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And you were just like, so chill. And I remember, like, I think it was when we were waiting for Cassie and Amanda, you had said, or I was like, "Hey, how you feeling?" You're like, this hike is easy. And I just remember being like, so pumped for you and so pumped for me too, because like the first time that I was on Catalina, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. The second time I was on Catalina, I knew that I could do it because I had done it in the worst shape of my life with no experience whatsoever. And my question going into that second trip was like, what if the hike itself isn't the hard part? Like, what's available to me out here? And to hear, like, to know that you didn't identify as a hiker, you weren't a hiker, and then you did your first solo hike, and then you found this group and you're doing these hikes, and we've hiked together multiple times, and to like have this moment on this mountain that was so deeply personal to me, and have you, who was not a hiker before hiking My Feelings, say, "This hike is easy." Like, I was just like, yes, freaking sweet. Like, it was just so exciting to witness you just fully embracing how much progress you had made. Like, you didn't say that and you weren't like, "I was here and now I'm here." And there wasn't a conversation. It was just like a really quick comment, like, "This is fine." And I was like, "Fucking right, it's fine."
Yeah, because on that retreat, for me, it wasn't about the hike. Like, and it was part of it. And it was, I love the hiking experience. And I loved being a, how should I say this? Like, I love being able to help other people through their hike. Like, that's yes. When I feel so good and like that I'm a good person is when I'm helping other people. And that was like the feel good part of the hike for me, or the retreat for me. But like the hard work stuff was just being around other people and hearing the stories that I was telling myself about me in relation to these other people. For many of us on the Catalina retreat, since it was March 2021, it was our first time really getting out there in a whole year. And most of us didn't know each other. I knew some people from previous Hiking My Feelings programs online, but we had never met in person. And you know, I was preparing for the weekend more thinking about like the logistics and do I have everything I need and like the packing and like very surface level. But it wasn't until we like actually arrived and then I see all these people and I'm like, oh my God, I can't breathe. Like, I'm going to have to talk to them. What if no one likes me? What if they're all friends already and I'm the outsider? It's time to set up camp. I have no clue what I'm doing, how to set up this camp. Like, where's Barry? And like, oh my God, there's gonna be a campfire and music. How, like, I don't know how to do that without alcohol in my hand.
And that was the other thing.
I hadn't even thought about that. Like, so that was a really good exercise for me to be like, okay, I didn't think this through. However, I'm here and I can do it. And I did it. I reached into my toolbox, you know, super cliche, but like I did it and I went for a walk or I did yoga. I meditated. I just like got my alone time. Like, I'm realizing what an introvert I really am. I never knew that about myself. And so that was the challenge. And then it happened again at Joshua Tree. I was like, I'm so excited. This is great. And I was nervous. That one, I was a little bit more nervous because I was going to be camping by myself, and I had to bring food. So I was like, you know, told myself I was going to starve because I didn't have like all the right food and I don't know how to cook and, you know, whatever. So those are the things that I was stressing out about. But then again, right when we arrive, I get there and like everyone's gathering and I just have that panic moment, like, oh my gosh, like who should I show up as, you know? And a lot of the people knew each other already. They'd been on the Catalina retreat together. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is scary for me. And I wasn't prepared, but I was, you know, I just hadn't consciously thought through that part. And in a way, I'm kind of glad I didn't, because I probably would have not gone.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm so grateful for those experiences because I've been able to, you know, strengthen some of those social muscles, which I forget it, but that's part of going on the retreat and being in community and being able to find my way through groups of people. And like I said, it's still really hard for me, but those were really good, safe places for me to work through that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I love it. And I feel that too. Like I feel that, and I'm facilitating these retreats. Like, when people start arriving, I'm like, who do I know? Who do I know? Cause there's like with Catalina in particular, it's like, it's been, I thought it would be more people from Kaleo and Melanie's community. Cause they've been hosting these retreats for years. This is what they do. I thought that it would be all Rebel and Muse folks. And then I look at the registration and I'm like, this is mostly Hiking My Feelings people, or people that are just neutral, that aren't from either, and they're brand new to everybody. And even still, like when everybody starts circling up, I'm like, I mean, like, I know I'm hosting this space, but like, what if people don't like me? Like, what if I sound like a dork? Like I still have those moments and I'm the one like creating the space. So I love that. I hate that that happens for you, but I love that it happens for you. And I love that. And especially with March, that March retreat last year, like coming into a community where, yes, this is mostly everybody's first gathering with other humans in a group setting. And frankly, like we had just gotten our vaccine like 2 weeks before. It was like right on time. Like I was just like, I was like, and because there, it was so up in the air because we're like, oh, the world's kind of reopening, but it's also kind of not. Like, what is this going to look like? And I was like, I don't want to postpone this again, but now we're here. And I think the fact that it was like, frankly, when I look back at that first retreat and I look at that compared to what we did in Joshua Tree together in December 2021, night and day differences. Like the first, like I was just so happy that the March retreat even happened. Like there was so many, there were just so many unknowns. Like I had this vision of like all of us hiking at the exact same pace. That's never going to fucking happen. But that was the delusional vision that I had. I was like, we're all going to be walking in like this really nice line where we're all together and the trail's so wide. And then we're all going to like be perfectly snacked up and perfectly hydrated. And then we'll get to the top and we'll all meditate together. We were like, that took the, like Jose got done with, like he basically trail ran that hike and he was done in like 2 hours. Him and Kelsey were just like off. And then like, and then we had like people pulling up the rear, like that it was like 6 or 7 hours later. So I was just like, okay, all the thoughts that I had just went completely out the window. And when I got home, I was like, did I even do anything on this retreat? Like, was I a participant or did I do any kind of programming? And it was good. And like, I'm just glad that we got it done and that everybody was happy. And I also think like, because we had postponed it twice and because it was our first gathering, like nobody really knew what to expect. Not even us as hosts. Like, we don't know if this is even going to happen. And then when it did, we're like, okay, like that was good. And it could be so much more. I love the part about having like, just when you get to Joshua Tree and you're like, okay, who am I going to be today? Like, walk me through that. Like, how did that, cause you ended up, I saw the Mary I know. So like, what was the moment, or did you like lock eyes with somebody that you recognized? You're like, oh, okay, I'm going to be okay. Like, what was the moment between like, oh fuck, and now I'm here and
Michelle,
I'm hiking.
When I saw Michelle, I was like, oh, okay. This is, everything's okay. You know, yeah. Like I was excited to see Gabbaccia, mm-hmm. but she's like a little bit more celebrity status, you know? And we didn't have our own personal connection prior to the retreat, but right. Michelle and I had, we had been hiking together with you on our own. We had been paddleboarding. So, and I didn't even know that she was going to be there. So that was just like, kind of like, oh, okay, great. Everything's going to be okay. And then when I saw you and Barry, you know,
like, oh, right. This is how we do this. We'll be fine.
Yes. And you had a special place for me to camp. And, I just felt very seen and loved. And, but what I was going to say, when you were talking about like the programming and on Catalina and stuff, for me on both retreats, I think my favorite moments and the ones that really, you know, kind of stuck to my heart were the just happenstance connections that I had with people on the trail. And you would just naturally, you know, there's this natural coming and going of people and someone needs to take a break. And this happened both on Catalina with these like really strenuous, crazy hikes. And then Joshua Tree, where we were kind of just exploring, you know, we didn't really even have a trail. We were just, you know, we had destinations or some kind of boundaries, but we were just very fluidly moving throughout this incredible desert. And I would just find myself coming in step with somebody else and you naturally just strike up a conversation and they always get pretty deep and real, just without any intention or agenda. It's just like, you naturally just go there. Like, and I don't think I could, I don't know that I would have moments like that, just standing around a campfire or shooting the shit, you know, at wherever. It was in the hiking itself that real connection happened. And I don't even have connections with those people still after the retreat, but in the moment walking with them, it was just like, it's just you and I, and we're going to share some beautiful, not beautiful stories. And that was really the magic in both of the retreats for me.
I love that. And that's a great segue into my next question. Well, cause there's things that, like when Barry taught me how to skydive, there's little one-liners that still to this day, I'm not even remotely close to a skydiving situation, but the lesson applies, right? Like that just stick in my mind. And I hear Barry saying this thing and it's something either he said it to me or I've watched him teach hundreds of students how to jump out of airplanes that I've heard his course so many times that I'll find myself in a situation. I'm like, this is what Barry would do, or this is what Barry would say. Have there been any moments or lessons or activities either from the program or from the retreat, from conversations with people, like you were saying, like finding these connections just in step with people on the trail that have stuck with you or that you've added to your toolbox that have been resonant over the past? I mean, it's been 2 years since mm-hmm. Read and Reflect. It's been almost 2 years since you did BYOT. What are some of those things that have stuck with you from the programs and from the retreats?
Well, one of the lessons that I think about often from Blaze Your Own Trail, the one about your language.
Week 7, be your own editor.
Be your own editor.
Yeah.
That one really stuck with me like immediately and still to this day.
And I think as a professional woman, that's probably a lot of why that one stuck. Yeah.
Yes. And as a mom, I'm so much more aware of how I'm speaking to myself, about myself, to other people, about other people. So be your own editor was a really important lesson for me. I was thinking back to, you know, I was, again, all or nothing. I think I attended every single virtual campfire.
Yep.
And I mean, there was not one where I didn't experience some aha moment or, you know, golden nugget that I took with me. I was actually looking back at some of my notes, and there are a few that I want to share. One of them that I noticed, recognizing self in others breeds compassion. And that was from Zion I. Is that right?
Yes.
So, rest in peace to him.
Yes. And Zumbi coming in hot on this podcast. I love it.
Yeah. And he was on a few times. Mm-hmm. And oh man, I learned so much from him every time.
Same.
And I was really looking forward to an opportunity to meet him in person someday. So I'm really, I'm sad that that won't happen, but I do carry him with me and his words and his lessons. So that was one for me that really, struck me. And, you know, with this community aspect and this platform that you give us to share our stories and for you continuing to share your story, that's really what it's doing, is breeding compassion, which we need more of. We need more of that. So that was one thing. I also had this note. This is from Stacey Jordan Shelton's episode. Getting free is a process. Staying free is a practice. And that especially resonates for me. I hate the word resonate. Well, I don't want to even use the word hate. The word resonate for some reason, like, gives me
skin crawly. Yeah.
Yes. But I'm,
because it's like, Mary, does this resonate with you?
I know. And we use it a lot in like my sobriety meetings and stuff. And like, I get it. And it makes sense, but for some reason it just like gives me the chill sometimes. So I wish I had a better word for that, but I don't. So getting free is a process, staying free is a practice. And says a lot about this sobriety journey that I've been on. Like, I could substitute free for getting sober is a process. Staying sober is a practice.
Yes.
And sobriety is freedom for me. I finally feel free as a sober woman. And then this was also from Stacey Jordan Shelton, giving yourself permission to not be good at everything. And I'm still a good person.
Like, can we talk about the weight of that one? Like, how many times in my life, I'm so thankful that I have the rest of my life to live with Stacey's wisdom reverberating through my brain. I can't even count how many times I've equated me being bad at something as me being bad, or me being like, I'm not good at this, so I'm not good.
Yeah. And not even just not good, but not perfect. Or the best,
or not worthy. And at the ultimate, like at the root of that, if we dig down and like remove all the language and all the fuzzy wuzzies, it's like this just inherent knowing. And I hate this phrase, but I love this phrase, that we are enough. Like, because we are. And it's like, and it sounds so cliche because it is, but it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I think this is where I'm having breakthroughs in real time. This is why I love talking with you, Mary. Like, We were talking about having language and understanding, and like, I've had the language of you are enough for forever, right? Like, people have been shoving that down my throat since I was, well, not forever, since like maybe 2010, not forever, but, but like in Maine, one of my realizations was like, and I think it's like, it's honestly, it was like, thank you, Alicia, for dyeing my hair and like encouraging me to become full unicorn. Cause like, this is it. Like, this is literally all I got. And I am doing the best with what I got. I'm trying to improve upon the way I show up, the way I hold space, the way I support people, the way I support myself, the way I talk to myself. But at the end of the day, like, I'm enough because I got nothing else. Like, I can't pull it. I can't slap on other parts to me. Like, this is the vehicle I've been given. This is the body I'm working with in this lifetime. And I just, God, Stacey Shelton, shout out Stacey Shelton for just being so abundantly clear and honest and wise. Like, that woman, I love you, Stacey.
And like, giving yourself permission. And I find myself, I have to like actively do that to stay in this healthy zone where I do feel good enough. Like I have to give myself permission, and it is a practice. This is another thing where it's like, okay, I need to just keep practicing it. And because I'm sober, I have all this awareness now, and I remember all of these lessons, and I'm present. And, you know, like even just another thing that I took on recently was, I volunteered to be on the board at the Little League. I am the head scorekeeper, like whatever.
Do you have a clipboard and a badge? Like, do you have a whistle? Like, I need to know, like, what are the authority?
Badge, but I have like this whole system that I bring. I actually do it on an app, and it's a rebuilding year for us, especially related to scorekeeping. But anyways, it has been another really good opportunity for me to put myself out there, take on some responsibility, and not kill myself trying to make it perfect and please everyone, because it's a wonderful community. There are a lot of tight-knit families in the community and people that have been around forever that have been doing it a certain way for a long time. And, you know, I'm really trying to keep my people pleasing to a minimum. And it's been a really great way for me to play around with all of these things that I've been learning in like a really low stakes environment.
Yeah. You know, like, well, and it's I think that's really cool. It sounds like that experience has kind of fed into this, like dipping your toe into substitute teaching and like how, like seeing, oh, I can be myself. Oh, I can curb my ability and desire to people please.
Yes.
What is possible if I do this in another area? Like, I like this, like, it's kind of like a trail. Like you're just doing one step at a time. If the mountain is like avoiding people pleasing, or not avoiding, we don't want to avoid it. If the mountain is working with our people pleasing.
Yes. There you go. That's a good one. Yeah.
And just like making these incremental steps to prove to yourself, one, to reaffirm all the hard work you've done, to have the awareness of how you do that, but also the practices to keep you grounded in not doing that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I love it. All right. I got a couple more questions. Okay. One, magic wand time. You already know this question, but I ask it every time. If you had a magic wand, and previously I was like, what would you do with it and just let it roll? But like, I want to reiterate, like you have a magic wand, you can use it on yourself. It's not selfish to use your own magic wand. It does work. It's like having your own genie. So you can use your magic wand on yourself. You can use it on society, a specific person. There's no limits. What would your wand do? Like, is it going to instill some level of understanding amongst the general population? Is it eradicating a behavior? Is it helping us become better humans? Like, what is your magic wand doing? And how are you using it? If you had a magic wand.
Should have prepared for this one because this is your question. The thing that's coming to my mind is gun violence. Like, I have no personal experience with gun violence. However, it's something that like haunts me very deeply on a regular basis. I don't know where it comes from. I mean, it's just because it's a problem. And I don't have anything profound to say about it other than I just wish it wasn't a thing. Yeah. Like I would just, if I could clear that problem from our world, that would be a really, I'm sure there are many other things I could do, maybe some better ones. I don't know, but that's
that sounds like a great place to start
right now, that like is top of mind and I feel it in my body. It makes me want to throw up and cry and scream, and I hope I can turn this rage into action somehow, some way. I haven't figured that out yet, but, I would start there.
I love that. And I will be right there with you when you go wave your magic wand. We'll tag team with our wands. We'll have like a sword fight about it. And then the last one, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to share, or is there anything that's like weighing on your heart and mind that you want to speak to, or any tips or advice or anything that you would offer people that are listening, like as a takeaway from our conversation today? You can answer that. That could be three questions. I love how I do that.
Okay. What do I want to say? Well, I'm incredibly grateful for you and Barry and Hiking My Feelings and the people that you've brought into my life, whether it's, you know, in person hiking or these incredible humans that you've had on the virtual campfire. Just your resilience, your patience, your support. I'm just filled with gratitude for you guys and everything that you're doing. So that's one thing. And what else? I don't know. I'm kind of blanking.
That's fine.
Again, I really wish I had something amazing and like profound to say right now, but I'm like feeling blank. So,
well, knowing, let's do this then, because I'm sure there are people that are listening that resonate.
Ah, with,
there it is. We're going to do a ticker on this one. Like, ding, ding, ding. But I'm sure that there are people that are finding some kind of connection to your story, whether it's through the sobriety part or how do I start something that I don't even identify myself as. Knowing what you know now and experiencing what you've experienced on your journey of self-discovery, what would you tell Mary at the end of 2019? Like, cause everything kind of started coming to a head for you in 2020, mm-hmm. but what would you tell her at the end of 2019 about anything?
I would remind myself to trust my gut. I have a really strong intuition and I stop listening to it at some point when things get really bad and I really start doubting myself. So I would remind myself to trust my gut. And this one, it's so cliche. And I think it might even be an AA reference. I don't do the AA program, but literally one day at a time is what got me here. Sometimes 1 hour at a time, sometimes one breath at a time. And I'm not exaggerating. With sobriety, like I said, I had no intention to live a sober life. It was just going to be 90 days and then I was going to go right back at it. And then it was a long enough time where I started to really witness the gifts of sobriety and realize how much better life is sober. And when I would trip myself up, it was when I would start future tripping. Like, well, what happens 3 months from now when I go to a concert, because I have tickets for a concert in 3 months. Okay. Well, you're not going to the concert today. You're going in 3 months. So when the concert day comes, you can decide if you want to go, if you don't want to go, if you want to drink, whatever, you can decide then. But right now, today, in this moment, is drinking a good decision? You know, is alcohol going to make anything better? No, it never does. Never makes anything better. So no, the answer is no. So today I'm not going to drink. And sometimes it was just breath by breath and, just staying in the moment, remembering my why. That's another like lesson in sobriety for me, is remembering why I'm doing this. A big why for me is my kids. Like, being a sober parent is incredible. Like, it's, I mean, I loved the shit out of my kids before this, but they also drove me fucking crazy. Sorry.
we got an E on this one. You're fine.
I don't know why, but like, since I've been sober, they like, don't drive me crazy. And I'm sure there are other things at play here, but, I love every moment that I have with them and this gift that I have to lead them through this crazy life that we're given. And to do it sober is, I just feel like such a gift to them. So I have otherwise, but that's a big one. So whenever I'm struggling and being like, oh my God, this is exhausting. What am I doing? I want to go back to the way things were. I remember my why.
Yeah.
So those are a few of them. I hope that helps.
Oh, I love it. Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you.
If anybody, so if people want, I know you said that you like don't really do social media super actively. If people want to get in touch with you, if they have questions about their sobriety or starting hiking or find any kind of connection to your story, when your story resonates with our listeners, how can they get in touch with you?
The best way is probably email.
Okay.
Which I just have to laugh saying that because in my, you know, before 2 years ago, like the thought of email would have been like, oh my God, another email. I can't handle it. I'm so overwhelmed. But now I'm on top of my emails. I may not get back right away, but email is a good one. So it's my name at yahoo.com. And yes, I still use Yahoo.
Yahoo!
Yahoo! So it's Mary Ramanofsky, which is spelled Ramen of Sky, Mary Ramen of Sky at yahoo.com. That's probably the best way. And I would love to hear from people. I feel like I'm at a point in my sober journey where I'm really comfortable and confident that I'm feeling more prepared to help others on this journey. It took me a while to get there. And I felt really bad about that because as a natural helper, I would want to just right away help other people. And then I realized like, well, I still have a lot of my own stuff to take care of before I can really help anyone else. So I feel like I'm in a good place now. And if anyone has questions or needs support, there's so much out there that I'd love to share with people, or whether it's hiking or hiking my feelings or anything like that. Or like, you know, where the best tacos are in San Diego.
Oh my gosh. I'm so ready to get some tacos in San Diego with you and go for a hike.
Yay.
Well, thank you very much, Mary, for joining us. And until next time, we will see everyone later.
If you're curious about how to make your next hike a bit more mindful, visit hikingmyfeelings.org/subscribe to download our free Trail Thoughts worksheets.